Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874, and also you can access it through our podcast at kxoradio.com. And before you start, Scott, I have a community announcement, and it's for the Family Treehouse.
I thought you were going to say Maria's cool. Yeah. I was going to say everybody knows
no,
that. Come
on. You know, the Family Treehouse is doing a fundraiser for October the 28th from 11 to 1 p.m., and they're selling barbacoa plates, a family of four-pack, four plates for $25. And that's to raise funds in order to keep that program keep going on, being open. So if you're on a Friday and, you know, get out of work and you don't, if it's the weekend, you
next
don't want to
Friday
do, yes, next Friday, next Friday, 28th. If you don't want to make dinner, you can always buy the four pack at the Family Treehouse.
County payday, you'll have some money.
Yeah, $25, and it's four plates of barbacoa. I've had that, and they're really good. So, looking forward to it.
And if you're a single guy and just hanging out, and going to be hanging out watching football all weekend, hell, four plates will probably get you through, you know, midday Saturday. So.
Yeah.
So don't let that lack of four people stop you.
And I'll remind you, Nick, I remind everybody for next week, too, so.
And it's really, really delicious, and it supports a really, really good cause.
Yes. So. I miss the treehouse now that my daughter's in kinder. Moment of silence there.
Executive producer Mario Spinoza giving us very important instructions. Phone off.
Okay.
All right, we're back. This is Let's Talk About It, Your Voice for Wellness here in the Imperial Valley, and we got a show. Welcome. Thanks for listening. Our guest today, our first guest, we have two. We're going to do them one at a time, so not to confuse the microphone, is Loretta Ugalde, and she's the director of the Work Training Center, and she's got important stuff to tell us about because she does a program with lots of acronym names that she's going to begin to describe as soon as she's ready. Hi, good morning, Loretta. How are you?
Good morning. Good, how are you?
Good. Fine. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you're the Work Training Center.
Yes.
Do you want to start with the Work Training Center and work your way back to the program?
Sure. Work Training Center has been in business since 1976. We have a work services program, and we have a senior program, which is the MSSP program. And Grisela will be talking about that in a minute. My program, we service people with disabilities, mental disabilities. We have about 28 clients at this time. And did you want me to go into detail about how?
Well, first, a little bit of background on the Work Training Center. What does it do for the community, and what is its purpose?
Like, we provide services for people with disabilities. We have different contracts that we work with, so we provide employment with people with disabilities at different sites.
So it's not. So the Work Training Center is not for anybody that is looking for a job without disabilities. It's only for people.
Unfortunately, no.
Wow.
No.
See,
unless, of course, you want to be the director, right?
You know what? No, I thought that it was to service everybody in the community, but it's only for people who have.
It's targeted for people with disabilities. Yes.
I learned something new.
Well, and okay, so there's lots of flavors of disabilities, if I dare say. Do you have a particular flavor of disability that you specialize in, or is it any disability?
Not a particular flavor. We do work with a lot of people with mental retardation.
Okay.
Mild mental retardation. There's some autism, cerebral palsy, and some developmental delay.
Okay. So so it's not people with, it sounds like no physical disabilities?
There are some with some physical disabilities.
Missing limbs or whatever?
No, no. Not with our program.
Okay. And then we, of course, have people with substance use disabilities and mental health disabilities where I work. Those people probably wouldn't qualify either right off
it's
the top of our.
It's only developmentally.
Developmental disabilities. Okay. Qualified by San Diego Regional Center.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
In order to be able to qualify for a program, that's one of
they have to qualify
they have
over
to
there.
Meet that one criteria, yeah. It's an entrance requirement. They have to be a San Diego Regional client.
So what it how you know, with people who have developmental disabilities, it's kind of limited in the work that they can do. So what do you, how do you assist them?
We provide, they work with a supervisor. They work with in a crew of 3 to 4 people. They're supervised 100% of the time. So, like I said, we have a supervisor that's working with them all the time.
And so essentially that's your program then? You hook up work for adults, I suppose.
18 years or older.
18 years or older, mm-hmm. with developmental disabilities.
Correct.
Now, typically that's something that, that happens historically. Is that correct? I mean, typically people don't walk in the door when they're 18 and say, "Hi, I'd like to be tested." It's probably me. I'm not sure.
No. Usually we get referrals from San Diego Regional Center. It's people who are actually interested in working for Work Training Center, who know about our program. They come in with us for orientation. We tell them what the program's about, what we focus on, and what the work entails.
So this would be part of say, an expansion or a part of we call them treatment plans. I'm sure you guys have a different name for them. A plan for integration into
rehabilitation
life.
Plan.
Thank
yes,
you. I knew yeah. there was a good word for it. for people with developmental disabilities, again, that have been with the regional center since they were identified as children, I would suspect.
Some are. Some have been recently identified. And some just go to San Diego Regional Center just because they're so desperate for work. They go in there and they get diagnosed. By San Diego Regional Center, and then if they fit our criteria, if they're fit for our program and meet our criteria, then we go ahead. If there is an opening, then we'll go ahead and bring them on board.
What is the criteria besides being diagnosed?
I have them here. You have to be 18 years or of age or older. Now you have to be currently unemployed or underemployed. You have to be interested in receiving services, willing and able to participate in the program, able to care for your personal needs. Mm-hmm. You need to not have a history of dangerous propensities, documentation of diagnosed disability.
Whoa. Dangerous propensities? What is
within
that?
Within the last 6 months.
No, but what are dangerous propensities?
I
went to a Chuck Norris film once, and I liked it.
people with a history of violence, not able to control emotions.
Assault behavior, yelling at people.
Yes.
How far down the list do we go?
6 months.
Okay, and how far down the list of dangerous do we go?
That's pretty much up to my discretion. I have to read their collateral information, and I make the decision and decide whether they're fit for program or not. Mm-hmm.
So if they do like the adult version of temper tantrums once a week or so, that may be more than...
That's something that we can work on.
Okay, good. Okay.
Right.
Get the sense of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, dangerous, but please continue.
Does not require extensive ongoing medical intervention.
So in other words, if they're physically, they have some illness or just any other physical ailments.
If it's going to keep them away from work, mm-hmm. or being absent from work, then that's a concern for me.
So somebody who needs like constant care or needs to have.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just be able to communicate in English, Spanish, or via sign language. And that's pretty much our eligibility criteria.
So what do you do? Do you have, like, out in the community resources, not resources, but are your contacts? Where do you put them? How do you place them? Maybe somebody in the community that has a business would like to assist people who have done. Where do you place them? Or how do you give them? Find a job for them.
We have contracts. We have federal contracts. We have contracts with the Navy base. We have Border Patrol. We have our state contracts, which are people who are cleaning the city parks. So we have assigned work sites. We have also the rest areas, Calipat, which is Two Rivers, Anna Calipat, and Sealy East, Sealy West bound roadside areas, rest areas. So usually when they start with us, we like to start them at the office so we can have...
assess their skill level?
Well, we can see what their, you know, what their needs are.
Is this kind of usually the first time they have a job? And
yeah, we kind of monitor how they work. And like I said, we have a vocational trainer with them at all times, so we're constantly monitoring, and then we decide whether this person is ready to go out to the rest area and eventually move up to, like, a city contract and then eventually a federal contract. So that's how we place them.
How much do they get paid?
I mean, is it, well, that's important. I mean, especially if we have family members who have, you know, a loved one that has a
Yeah.
Well, might, then we might fit the criteria.
We have a special certificate that allows us to pay below the minimum wage because we are considered to be a shelter workshop. So everything is based on productivity. Every 6 months, we do a time study, what we call a time study. So we time them, and depending on how well they do the task, be it cleaning a window or cleaning a restroom, because our contracts are mostly janitorial.
Mm-hmm.
So we time them, and based on that productivity, it determines their wage. So it
we
goes
should
up
do that
down.
With everybody, huh?
I know.
We could save a lot of money.
I know, we could. Yeah, what it, does that, very important for people who do have loved ones who are developmental disabled, does this affect in any kind their SSI or any kind of other income that they might get?
SSI, social something something? What's it stand for? Social Security.
Yeah.
Social Security. For some, it does, especially those who work the most hours. What we do is we report their wages to Social Security Administration, so they will adjust their benefits according to how much money they're making with us. Some will come to me and ask me, Loretta, I don't want to work more than 30 hours a week or more than the 40 hours or whatever. So
that's
I just go with by what they tell me. And
that's
and of course, our
I mean, that's because Social Security is not even enough to live in, and then you're trying to work, and they cut it off.
So wait, I'm confused here. So we give people Social Security because they're disabled, and Social Security is not quote unquote living wage. Is that what we're saying? It's not sufficient to survive.
Yes, it's not it.
I don't know.
It's but, not.
Well, if I would suspect if I was willing to if I was on Social Security and I was trying to clean enough toilets per minute to get another couple bucks at the end of the week, I would suspect it isn't enough. That's kind of what I was getting. Mm. That if I was willing to do that instead of, because otherwise, if it were enough, I could be watching novellas.
Mm-hmm.
I could be doing bonsai gardening or something. I could be doing something. Instead, I'm choosing to work, and actually, it sounds
with
like
this,
fairly competitive work. There must be some real. What brings these people out?
Mm-hmm.
What has them spending their days doing these jobs?
Yeah, even though their social security might be cut.
Not the most fun jobs in the world.
No,
it's not like the greeter at Costco or something. Is these people are cleaning restrooms, right?
They're cleaning restrooms. They're cleaning offices.
I've been in those restrooms. I know, not pretty.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it is not enough. And some of them just really want to get out of the house and just get out and work.
So it's kind of like more of a social,
more of a training.
More training, doing something else with it besides staying at home and being on the couch or being on watching TV all day.
Right.
Trying to interact with other people, too.
With industrial chemicals and restrooms.
Yeah.
Hey, my friends. It sounds like there's a lot of value placed on work. That we're maybe not walking around, not even aware of, because we're working, I suppose we're too busy. But we're not even aware of how much it might hurt someone to not work.
Mm-hmm.
That feel like they're maybe not productive enough or feel like they're, you know, I really want to do something with my life, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that with your people?
I do. I mean, they're happy. I see that. They're happy with it. They're proud about, you know, what they do. They see their growth. I see their growth. Plus, we work with goals. Every 6 months, we work with goals, you know, whether they are personal goals or work-related goals. So there is a big sense of accomplishment every 6 months for all of our clients.
Give me a goal. Give me a work-related goal. I will come to work on time.
That could be one.
Clean 83
show up
latrines.
To work. Not be absent more than 2 times in a month. Simple things like will not miss a spot when mopping, when sweeping. Those are our type of goals.
How do you talk with the families also? Do you meet with them?
Not necessarily. Usually at the beginning when they come in and are having, you know, when they have questions about our program.
I wonder the reason why I'm wondering if they've changed also at home, you know, what this new having them to work, having this responsibility of working, how it's affected them also at home.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to know.
Yeah,
because that's if
they're so. Do they come home all grumpy like us, or are they coming home feeling
no,
important,
no.
feeling
the only
validated?
The only time I get home grumpy is when I don't have a lunch and I work straight through for
also
10
like
hours,
every
11 hours.
Every other day, then.
That's when I get home and I'm grumpy.
337-8874 is our phone number. We got a couple more minutes this morning with Loretta Ugalde before we shift gears and talk about their senior programs. So if you want to call and ask questions about the Work Training Center for Developmentally Delayed Adults, give us a call quick before the break. So you've got this, how many, 28 people you said?
28.
And mm-hmm. and you've got all these contracts for all of these cleaning stuff.
Is that the limit? Right now, 28, or do you have a capacity?
We have a waiting list. Whenever a need arises, I go back to my waiting list and I pull up people from that waiting list. But I'm always open to.
So you've got a ready supply of employees just lined up on the queue.
You just need more contracts.
Yeah, the contracts are there. Yeah, but yeah, whenever somebody leaves, I have to fill in that spot. So I just go back to
the
my
people
waiting
with
list.
Jobs have to be like why looking over
leave?
Their shoulders.
Why would they leave? Why would they leave?
Some just move out of town. Some just don't come back. Mm-hmm. Rarely happens since I've been there. I've been mm-hmm. there for about a year, and most of them remain with the program.
Mm-hmm. How do they get to work?
We provide transportation
okay,
for them.
Okay, interesting, yes.
We pick them up from the house, and we drop them off.
How about, you know, if you're working and you're out there at Sealy or at Calipat.
Two Rivers, yeah.
Yeah, Two Rivers. You know, because they have a, I know about it because they have an RV dump. Anyway.
It's on the way to Raymer Lake.
And what about their lunch? You know, that's very important, their lunch. And what do they do, you know?
I go over all this information when they come in for their mm-hmm. intake meeting. I explain to them they have to bring their lunch.
Okay.
The number of hours that they're going to be working, bring your water, even though there's water at the rest areas. So they're pretty much aware, and my supervisors are there to remind them, mm-hmm. You know, what they need to do, what they need to bring.
Did you try and get done early in the day? Because it gets hot, and some of those rest areas aren't air-conditioned.
Yes. Rest areas, that's Caltrans. That's our Caltrans contract. We have to be there. It's hours that we have to be there. We're there mm-hmm. from 6 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
So we can't leave. Unfortunately, we have to stay there because.
But you do get out before, like, the heat, the you know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, where it gets really funky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although we don't have anybody working.
Did the closures affect you guys for a while? The closures on Highway 8, anyway. Were
I know. It took for, what, two
yeah,
years?
Yeah, the remodeling. Yeah. A little. Yeah. Almost 2 years. Yeah, it did.
That was kind of questionable. Why 2 years? You know, they can build a building in like in a
that's a long
month.
Time to have to wait.
For the rest of it, yeah. It took a long time. Yeah.
Wow.
So when they reopened, I was able to hire more people. So employment went up a little mm-hmm. bit. So
how many people do you have working at the rest areas, at each rest area?
Rest areas is usually 3 clients plus a voc trainer on each side. So
there's usually 4
yeah.
of them.
Now, vocational trainers, are they paid by the number of things that get cleaned also? I mean, like, their team. Are they measured on their team's performance, or do they just get a standard rate of pay?
No, they are on standard pay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any particular background for that, or?
No, I mean, we actually look for people who have experience working with people with disability, as well as a janitorial background. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I do have to step in there and help them with the job in order to help them sharpen their own skills. They do jump in there. They're not just
so in other words, you can't have somebody that's afraid to clean toilets.
No.
Restrooms. So.
Especially rest areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you have to, ideally, people who like to clean toilets.
Or enjoy cleaning.
Yeah.
So you say that because you like to clean?
Whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. It's like just part of life. All right. So if people have are interested either in your program, you know, some people may be listening who may in fact wish to contract with your agency. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Who can they call and what can they ask for?
They can call and ask for me, or they can. Angela is our executive director. Our phone number is 760-352-6181. We are located at 210 Wake Avenue. It's that street at Home Depot, where Home Depot is on 4th Street.
Do you guys get hit by stray golf balls? Or?
No, have not.
There's driving ranges out there, too, right?
Yeah. Okay. Right next to the Social Security office.
Okay. So you're right there next?
We are right there. We're neighbors.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So how can they get into contact for other community members in the community if they do want to contact? They just contact. Is there any requisites? Is there anything that they would need to know?
If somebody was interested contracting with us, that contracts I don't necessarily deal with directly. Mm-hmm. That would be our executive director, Angela Delgado, at the same number, 352-6181, so they would go directly to her.
So, but that's an encouraging thing to encourage community members, community businesses to, contract.
Right.
They all have restrooms. A lot of the business have restrooms, janitorial needs.
Thank goodness.
And, that's more work.
Yeah.
It's since you mentioned earlier that you have a waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
All right, Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health and covered half of the ground here. We've got seniors still on cue here, so we're going to talk about seniors after the break. Stay with us.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. And our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
Thank you for joining us. Good morning. We have the Work Training Center in the house. And as promised, the second part of the show, all things Work Training Center, senior-oriented, I suppose. Our new guest, we have brand new. Yes, that's how it works, is Griselda Martinez, and she's the supervisor of this senior program, which has an obscure acronym that I'm going to let her share with the rest of us. What's your program called? Morning.
Good morning. It's called the MSSP program.
Okay, and MSSP stands for?
It stands for Multi-Purpose Senior Services Program.
Okay, so purpose is the P is hiding. Okay.
Yeah.
The P is silent.
So it's for senior.
It's for seniors who are at risk of being placed in a convalescent home or in an institution. So that's basically the eligibility requirements.
That which awaits us all. That moment. If we're lucky enough to get old, right?
I want to look like. I've said it this before, right? I want to. When I get that old, I want to look like Sophia Loren.
Oh, yeah.
She's really pretty. She's really pretty. Okay. She's just.
I want to age. That'd be great. No. It's just that I want to age. I don't know if she's fully gracefully. I don't know. I don't know if she's had plastic surgery.
Probably.
I don't know, but she's got good plastic surgery.
Certain people are just really gifted, and they're going to be carrying that with them forever. So she's.
But you know what? There's a lot of people, even people who have retired here from the county, they sometimes come back
to
work.
That look like Sir Phil around.
No. They come back. They come back because they've retired, and they don't have really much going on. All their lives are worked, and now they want to come back. And I see, my father's a good example. He's 81 years old, and he refuses to stop working. He stays active. He, DMV, I don't know how, but DMV gave him still the license, and he went on his big rig truck to haul grapes up north.
That's great.
No, it's not.
But, I mean, because...
as long as you're not driving around up north, I guess it's cool.
No, it's not.
No,
but, you know,
but
just,
I mean, he's independent.
Just, yes, he is. And he still rides his horses. But it's just, it's good. And I think he feels young still because he's still active. So what is, the criteria for your program is that they be in a convalescent home, or what is the age criteria, or it could be anybody.
They have to be 65 years or older.
And that's still young compared to my dad. Compared to my dad,
65 is like the new 35.
That's very young.
Yeah, but these are seniors who are, I guess, frail, and they're at risk of being placed in a convalescent home. So these are like they're pretty sick. Mm-hmm. So they've had like a stroke. They have, let's say, diabetes, and they're just really sick.
So in as opposed to the other group of people, mm-hmm. where we wanted, for the other work training center program, we wanted people with developmental disabilities who did not have really bad health problems. These people actually have to have some sort of health problems type of stuff.
Not too serious with their, or is there, but they have health problems that they're, like you said, frail.
They have, yeah.
So what if they have health problems, what kind of jobs can then you find them? Because, I mean, janitorial, it's a little bit more
difficult. Yeah, this
difficult.
Program is much different than the mm-hmm. work services program. We don't give them a job.
Okay.
Yeah. Erase that picture out of our heads, huh?
Yeah, scratch that. Scratch that part.
So no roadside restrooms with people in walkers trying.
No. Okay. No, yeah. No, okay. We're trying to actually keep them safe in their home, and so that they don't go into a convalescent home. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of
You they love you then, because typically they don't want to go.
No,
to
they don't.
They,
they're terrified.
Us, when we're older, don't want to go to convalescent homes.
No, they're terrified of it.
We got our routines. We got our space. We got our stuff. We don't give that up. Mm-hmm. Worked really hard for that.
So what do you do?
What
kind of services?
So we have a nurse on staff, and then we have 4 case managers, and we do case management. Basically, that's all we do. We do case management. If we need to purchase something for a senior to keep them safe in the home, we go ahead and we purchase it. We do a lot of referrals. We do a lot of we try to get the family involved as much as we can. Sometimes the family isn't involved at all, so...
Do you ever link them to behavioral health?
If we do link them to behavioral health, we have to let them go, because that would be another case management program, and it would be more of their need would be different. So.
But what if they have, what kind of case management are you providing? Because the case management that behavioral health is completely different. It only targets their mental health.
If they have, let's say within their diagnosis, mm-hmm. they have a severe depression, history of a stroke, diabetes, mm-hmm. They probably would be referred to behavioral health for
just the mental health,
the depression. Mental health issue, uh-huh. But if the senior is pretty, I guess, healthy, mm-hmm. and their only diagnosis would be depression, then we would let them go and have behavioral health take care of
them. But if they have multiple things, like you said, mm-hmm. health issues and mental health, would you keep them with both services?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do these seniors come from? Somebody brings them in the front door. Somebody gets them
to your
services.
Yeah, how do you get your
referrals? Are they self-referred?
You know what? We have a lot of referrals. There's apparently a lot of need, and we get a lot of referrals from home health agencies, from doctors.
Do you work with them on some cases, or typically if you're involved, they're not involved, or?
No, we do. We work together with them.
Okay, so home health care knows that you are a resource.
Yes.
I bet you they put you to work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right now with the economy, and hearing that in January, the funding for the adult daycare day out is going to end, you might end up with more referrals. Since the people that are going to the adult day out care
is also an intervention
to avoid being convalescent.
Yeah, that's another.
Have you guys prepared, or have you guys?
I know that our director went to a meeting in Sacramento about that, and they were trying to decide what we were going to do with those seniors that were not going to have like the day out or Alegría or all that, and if we were going to take those in and how we were going to go about it. So. I know it's somewhere out there, we're talking about it.
So
the key right now is if you have a loved one that is a senior citizen or them themselves, is get your name in there.
Get your reservation at the convalescent home today, because it's going to be a rush.
Yeah, especially at the work training center.
I love the way you chase the money sometimes. That's really a talent. So, because it sounds like Maria is going to describing an impending crunch, if you will, if you close down something that's serving a large number of seniors, mm-hmm. then everybody else who's serving seniors is going to feel some impacts there.
Yeah.
And the seniors themselves may have more limited options.
Well, even the convalescent homes here are limited.
Yes,
the capacity. So, I mean, all those people that are going to Alegría, which there is many of them, mm-hmm. where are they going to go?
Waiting list for convalescent. Don't you understand? I'm 83 years old. I need to see a waiting list. Not going to work. It's going to be awkward. So what do you, so people, home health and other people refer people, seniors, to your program.
Mm-hmm.
You must assess them then for some sort of need. What do you guys look for when you're assessing your seniors?
Okay, so like I said before, there's a nurse on staff.
And she looks at the frailness.
She determines their level of care. She certifies the client to deem certifiable for being at risk of being placed in a convalescent home.
So it's like a range, and if you're on the far end of the scale, you're actually probably should be in a convalescent home because it's actually beyond your help.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes the client might be too much for our program, and sometimes they might be a little bit too independent for our program.
Still functioning.
Yeah, so she really has to make that determination.
Okay. And so she makes that determination, and then you do some sort of need assessment?
Yeah, and so when the social worker goes out with the nurse, the social worker does a psychosocial assessment. They do what I guess everybody else does. They have to do some sort of cognitive test, functional test, and all these.
You're telling me I should keep studying.
So somebody who has beginning symptoms of Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
Would they fit your program? I mean, they're still independent. They eventually,
I would say
they'll end up probably, maybe in a convalescent or.
Yeah. I would say like 90% of our clients have some sort of dementia. They're
Some sort of cognitive impairment,
but they're still still capable of doing some things. And
but at least with assistance, mm-hmm. so they're able to stay home. All of them have a caregiver, but they're able to stay home.
Family members or otherwise?
Or otherwise, okay. So they're able to stay home. Some of them, they're, like you said, Scott.
Yes.
Right?
Griselda. Yes, Griselda.
No, like you said, some of them are really frail. Not even the family can take care of them or a caregiver. They're bedbound, and we can't do anything about them. So we have to let those go. But we try to keep them in the program as much as
we can. So the social worker comes out, does mm-hmm. a psychosocial eval to kind of identify their psychosocial needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a case manager.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what the case manager goes out and meets with them regularly, I guess that's what case managers do.
Uh-huh.
What do they do for mm-hmm. them? Or
what do they do?
So the case manager calls them every month. They visit them every 3 months. And they do a yearly reassessment. What the case manager does is monitor the client. So we develop a plan of care. Once they do all their assessments and everything.
What would that look like? Give us a picture into that.
A picture of a plan of care.
Plan of care. Buy me a laptop computer and teach me to Facebook.
No, somebody that's 60, 60, 70 years old and has diabetes.
Okay, so it's so let's say the person has diabetes and dementia and has a history of a stroke. I keep on mentioning that because
some of those are actually sounds like a true composite.
Like I'm thinking of a treatment plan right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so let's say the person doesn't have access to easy access to their home because
they're in a wheelchair.
They're on a wheelchair, and they need like a ramp or something to exit the home. So, as an intervention, the case manager might say, "This person needs like a home repair, and a ramp would benefit the client."
Yeah.
So that would be like an intervention.
Do you help them get in like one of those little electric wheelchairs? You know, they can go some places
all
really
the time. All the
that
time.
That is so cool.
Yeah, but for those, we have to go through Medi-Cal.
Mm-hmm.
We can't actually purchase anything that Medi-Cal purchases.
This year, they'll probably take that off the list by the time I'm old enough to need one, right?
No kidding. Yeah. Yeah. So,
when you sit down, you're basically really concrete about, okay, what does this person need, like specific needs,
mm-hmm.
to maintain their home placement?
Yeah. Does a case manager with them monitor also their medication, you know, or educate them on their medication compliance. In other words, so, you know, since they're taking them, does the case manager also educate them, educate the family?
Because that could be an identified need, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's also one of them. Yeah, because of their cognitive function, a lot of them forget to take their medication. Mm-hmm.
And then bad things happen.
Yeah, and then bad things happen. So we do education, especially on the caregiver. If we can, we will purchase them like a pill box or something and educate them on that, on how to use the pill box.
What do you do when their pills don't fit into those little slots for the days?
Buy them bigger ones.
Yeah, I've seen the bigger ones, Scott. There's some that are big.
Industrial size.
Yeah.
We'll find a way.
So we're supersizing everything, huh? Eventually.
What about also regarding, you know, especially with somebody that is in the home, you know, had a stroke, and if they were active before and now they're homebound,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's when depression might kick in and set in. And do you, this case manager, encourage, you know, other social activities or refer them to other resources out in the community?
There's very few resources for that's something. Well, we try to refer out to like a day out or Alegria.
Let's just say that they're not there anymore because it's not looking good.
I know, that's really
Facebook and Skype. We'll buy them all laptops. We'll hook them up, get them wireless, and
they can talk.
That's actually not
a
bad idea.
They can talk to family members there.
Yeah.
Write that into the next grant.
That's not a bad idea to socialize, but we try to get them through, I think there's a friendly visitor program through Catholic Charities. We try to get the family involved. There's very few resources out there, to be honest with you. We try to do what we can.
Is this stuff that, are resources like that things that people are seeking, or do you have to end up educating them to... help them become aware that there's more life left in you. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. sometimes when people are seniors, they're like, no, I just want to sit here and I just want to be left alone. And then there'd be kind of a social need to kind of say, well, you know, is that really what you want? Or is that just what you think the only thing you can do right now?
Yeah, I mean, the case managers do a lot of that, too. They go and they talk to our clients. They establish a rapport.
Encouraging, coaching.
Yeah, you encourage them. They do more than case management, more than they give themselves credit for. But the truth is that a lot of our seniors are kind of stuck in their way of thinking. So all we can do is provide them with support.
You know, they spent their whole life figuring it out. So you ask them to change their mind now.
Yeah. There's a senior that comes to my head she smokes a lot. She drinks a lot. And she's very, very stubborn. And so, but the good thing that our case manager developed a good rapport with her. And for some reason, I don't know why, she's listening to her, and she started to use the patch. I'm amazed because the client has been in our program forever, and she's like stuck in her ways.
How many people do you have in the program, the senior program?
Right now, because of the budget cuts, we used to have 200 clients, but now we're down to 160.
Is there a waiting list for your services also?
Yeah, there's a waiting list. Mm-hmm. About 80 people.
Big, yeah, it's big.
Yeah,
it's a mm-hmm. And people, once they've got these services, then at some point in this process, they'll either, dare I say, expire, or they'll reach a point where they do need a higher level of care.
Yeah, higher.
Is that basically how it works? I mean,
mm-hmm.
when
do you
as long
discharge
as there's
them?
A need, there's
how
a
do
service,
you
right?
determine, okay, they no longer need our
services?
Yeah,
or is it time limited?
So now, because of all the budget cuts, all of the needs, what we're trying to do is we're trying to establish them in the community with all other resources as much as possible.
Mm, there you go.
And then we try to let them go and say, you know, if you need our services again or your situation changes, you can give us a call again, just because of all the people we have on the waiting list now waiting. But there's other reasons, too. There is, of course, death. Moving out of the area, so if they live,
or their physically or their illness becomes worse,
or their illness becomes worse.
So now that how long has this program been around?
This program has been around, I believe, since the 80s.
Really? Oh, so it's been around. How long have you worked in it?
I've been a supervisor there for 4 years, but I was previously a case manager
in the same program.
In the same program.
So having had this experience of working with the aging population, if I will, you're looking forward to getting older. And can't wait for the wondrous abundance of beauty associated with the aging process, right?
Now what you learn,
this is the time we should be advocating for more services for senior citizens.
Or are you getting worried? Because
we ourselves going to be senior citizens.
Yeah. Or, you know what? You become aware. You learn a lot. And maybe, you know, you don't really think about that, or people don't want to think about that. But once you get to a certain age, you kind of have to know, you know, what is out there.
So for people in their 20s and 30s, what's the takeaway lesson here?
I still feel 20, actually.
I don't feel I'm in my 40s anymore.
What was that? I'm sorry.
What would you tell people in their 20s and 30s, having had your experiences with that population, about the...
Safer retirement.
Yeah, something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, save for retirement. Start thinking about that early. Even though you're young, you know, stay healthy. Exercise.
Don't smoke. Don't drink in excess.
Yeah, because all that causes
eat healthy. Yes, eat.
I loved in excess. That was such a good band.
In excess, yes. In excess was good, too. But yeah, eat healthy, do exercise, smoke, all that is going to affect you later in your life.
Yeah, and also be good to your kids, maybe, because then they don't want to take care of you.
So life used to be like a tightrope act, but there was like a net underneath it to catch you when eventually something that you did, regardless, eventually you fell off that rope.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking the net away now, so mm-hmm. you really want to try and stay on the rope.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically.
Cool. All right. So if people are interested in the senior program, who are you gonna call? Who would you like them to call?
You can call the Work Training Center. Our number is 760-352-6181, and you can contact any MSSP staff member or myself, Griselda Martinez.
So ask for the MSSP program.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And since you've got a waiting list. And let's say I've got somebody who's 63 and I think they're going to have health problems in the next 5 years. I should probably call them and get them on the list now, huh?
There's people who
That way, by the mm-hmm. time they do get frail, we'll be right in the right spot at the right time and we won't have to wait too long, perhaps.
Yeah, there's people who do that. Actually, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I just gave out a referral of somebody that was waiting there for a while. They were too young to start the program.
Maria, put down your cell phone. Stop calling my name. That's wrong. Thank you so much for coming aboard today.
Thank you.
Welcome to Maria's community calendar.
No, and just a reminder for today. The Center for Family Solutions is doing the awareness walk, and this is for against domestic violence. It's going to start at 5:15, and what they're going to do, they're going to start by the steps of the Superior Court located here in El Centro, and they're going to walk to the El Centro's Town Square Park, which is on 7th and Main Street, where the little water features is and the grass. And they're going to have resource tables, free food, and refreshments. And this is the Awareness Walk Against Domestic Violence is a candlelight vigil that will honor victims and survivors of domestic violence. So we have, you know, a lot
See
of people,
there.
Yeah, that have been affected by domestic violence, you know, family members, the children, people who have died because of domestic violence, you know, the surviving victim, and the family members. So the awareness walk today, it starts at 5:15 at the court steps. So
they're also going to have local artists playing art. So show up.
It's going to be, you know, you can make it, you know, a family event and make sure that bring awareness against domestic violence.
We'll see you all out there. All right, I'm Scott. She's Maria. He's Mario. The guy with the cool radio voice.
Yes.
Is Mario. And we're Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Join us again Thursday morning next week, 7:30 in the morning, for another great show. Appreciate you listening.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KGBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.